Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this just absolutely stunning and properly snowy Minnesota morning?
I'm good, Tom. Thanks.
Excellent. I do sympathize with the drivers, but I think that our local crews have got things under pretty good control there. So, we need the snow. I'll have to shovel it, but that's okay. I can live with that. Our first piece is about State Senator Grant Hochschild meeting with the Lake County ambulance crew. This is huge.
It is huge. He made a special trip up to Two Harbors just the other day on Thursday last week to meet with the ambulance service in Lake County, and also he was joined by Rick Gudermont, Lake County Commissioner, who has been on the board for the ambulance service for the 90s. He's got a lot of historical information, and Grant was really on a fact-finding mission. He invited me to join the meeting just to be part of it, to learn more myself, because he knows that I'm really interested in sort of the state of ambulance service in her area and in greater Minnesota. And Randy Strohmeyer is the director of the Lake County Ambulance Service. He's full-time. He's been with the ambulance service a long time, recently promoted to director. And so a really knowledgeable person. This is a super complex issue, has a ton of history to it. It has regulatory body involved. It has state legislation, and it has federal funding, which affects the success and sustainability of the ambulance service. I'm going to tell you, ambulance services in rural areas are in crisis. I mean, they're really on the brink of not being able to respond. It's this sort of like very thin margin of having enough resources, enough people, and enough equipment to respond to the emergencies that typically arise in our communities. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, ranging from Medicare reimbursement rates being insufficient is really sort of the bottom line problem, because that affects the pay and the ability to recruit and retain staff who are sufficiently trained to respond in the way that we expect for our lives. Now, I thought it was interesting, as I always do, to go find out about the history of anything. And in this case, it's not too distant past. And I've included in the article that this was a volunteer service not that long ago. And as it's evolved into first a part-time paid and then a nonprofit less than, I think it was 2015. So not even that long ago, it became a full-time, fully paid nonprofit scenario. And in the course of that, because of how funding happens and how there's sort of not been a really good plan for the future, needs and the expectations have evolved. County has had to move from subsidizing the ambulance service out of their own budget. I want people to understand the ambulance service that is provided is not public service in the sense that the state sees it as such and provides a budget for it. Because of our taxes, we're paying for our ambulance service at the level and quality that we are currently getting. And it's gone from $15,000 20 years ago to $500,000 a year. And it's barely making ends meet. That was a mouthful, Tom. I got a lot more coming on this story.
Oh, sure. I heard you say something about $1 million and a couple of the key vowels were missing from there. What was the cost for ambulance service now? $1 million something what?
$500,000. So $500,000 is the rate at which Lake County, or governing body of Lake County, is subsidizing the ambulance service.
And do you have an approximate number of what the service actually costs, or what it takes to pay for these guys for a year?
We'll look into that, Tom. I think that's a really good. I think this story more courting that tells you is that the insurance that pays for an ambulance run globally, because we have private payers and Medicare, is falling short of sufficient reimbursement. much so that the county is having to make up the difference. But I will work on finding out some more about budget and overall how many staff. We're going to work on this story some more. I think it's real interesting and very important.
A person might almost think that there was some sort of a plan to slowly starve the ambulance service to death, you know, to the point where we can no longer sustain it. And that's it sounds crazy to me. And when I said it, it sounded crazy, but it's the only conclusion that I can come to when the income is consistently less than the outgo. And so I guess you're going to be digging on that some more. Meantime, why don't I allow you to move on to the piece about the students up in the Silver Bay organizing some blood drives at the William Kelly High School.
Yeah, this is the National Honor Society at the William Kelly High School. And they've organized two blood drives coming up. I believe they've had one already this fall. And now there will be another. The soonest one will be January 24th. I've included information in the article, which was written by Marley Schumacher, our student intern. And she has included all the details you'll need. She did a really nice job talking about not only sort of highlighting the students who have been helping to get this going, but also why it's so important. She kind of breaks down like why this is really important community effort for all of our well-being, again, for our health and safety reasons that people need blood donations and that they've been down. So I'm really pleased that she covered this. I hope it helps get more people out to that January date. There's another one in May coming up that people can keep an eye on. We'll cover that when it gets closer. And the details are in her article for how you can participate.
Oh, yes. An interesting thing that I learned about blood donations from the last episode we had with this in the news is that just because we have a hospital or hospitals, plural, in the area, it does not mean that we have a ready means of collecting this stuff. Because of various laws and regulations and guidelines and safety requirements, it's a very specialized bit of infrastructure for collecting and testing and preserving the blood supply. And it's not something that any local hospital is readily set up for. So these have to be organized, and then the actual collection pros come in from the outside world and set up and do it. And so that's why it is a significant big deal to organize these kinds of drives. They're not something that's readily and commonly and easily done in a small community like ours.
Exactly.
So that's huge. We've got a new column in the paper, Ask the Assessor.
Yes, we're just starting it. So you'll see on the front page, and I hope it generates a lot of excitement, kind of a little tongue-in-cheek there, but really our assessments and valuations of our properties, those of us who are lucky enough to be property owners, is a really important thing and very complicated, very to learn. And so I was really pleased that Greg Swartout, who is our Lake County assessor, has had this great idea to start a column and ask people to send in their questions. So we're talking about the things that affect your taxes, right? And while the assessor is not responsible for how taxes are set, collecting them even, his office does have a lot of information about how valuation affects taxes, when you can appeal that, when you have questions, how the state code, tax code affects your life as a property owner. So I'm really excited that he's going to share his expertise, and we're asking people to send in their questions to the paper. We'll get them answered. If you have a question about it, probably somebody else does too. So we're hoping that people will send those in to editor@lakecountypress.news or give us a call at our office, which is 218-20-3250.
Would you say again the number, please?
Love to. Call us to ask your question about taxes and valuations and your property taxes as it's valuated at 218-830-2250. We'll get it in the paper and we'll get an answer for you.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, all hemlock. There's something electronic going here. I didn't get all four of the last four digits. I just got the last two. I don't know what the remedy is, but just try spitting that number out again without much pause between them, and let's see what happens. Let's try it again, okay?
218-30-3250.
Okay, 3250. And before that, it was 213, or was it or 830, or what was it?
218-30-3250.
We'll just have to look it up in the newspaper here. There's computers are our friends. Oh, golly. The number's there, and it's important. The question I had about assessments, you know, looking at the atlas, you know, you see a property is being assessed for maybe $80,000 or $90,000 or $95,000, and when it gets sold, it's sold for $250,000, and there is some disconnect there between the assessed value and the value that you actually get at the checkbook, and I don't know if there's a question there, or if there should be a question there, but that'll be an interesting conversation you can have with the assessor when you talk to him. And sure. In the meantime, maybe we'll try moving on to the Two Harbors Council highlights and see what we've got there.
Oh, sounds good, Tom. So the Two Harbors City Council met just this last Monday. They covered a lot of ground. They talked about all kinds of things and approved some big things that have long been in the conversation and discussed some others. So of note, Robin Glauser was appointed, voted to be the president of the council for 2024. The council approved MnDOT's Highway 61 corridor geometric layout. That bears a little explaining. That doesn't mean that everything's set in stone, just a sort of a rough draft. Council said, yes, we can live with that. We understand it. We can live with that. We can working on it. So this is for the complete reconstruction of Highway 61 as it runs through Two Harbors, expected to be started in 2027. They also approved the lowest bid that they received for the new liquor store construction, which is expected to happen in this coming warm season and be completed before the end of the year. The Bellamy brothers are booked for Heritage Days. Cheryl Sundstrom is on hand, very excited, and that's through coordination and the good graces of Love and Lake County, which is a street dance with the Bellamy brothers. It's kind of wild. Be a good time. And also, I just want to follow up that because your listeners may remember, there was a bicycle accident, somebody riding their bike crossing at 15th Street. I'm going to pull out the right street designation there this summer, and she was badly injured and ended up in the hospital in rehab for weeks. And the suggestion, one of the conversations that came out of that was flashing. The thing that gets triggered by a car approaching, and then it shows what your speed is, and that is going to happen next year.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And now to recap, the reconstruction of 7th Avenue is now slated to start making holes in the pavement in 2027. Did I understand that rightly?
Heard that correctly. Been bumped back that far.
Okay, well, I hope they keep bumping the money along with it, because, you know, the cost of cement is going to keep on going up no matter...
that was discussed, you can imagine. What if price goes up, who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For sure, but it was discussed.
Well, scientists still don't know exactly what time is, but by golly, we still keep... using it as if we had an unlimited supply of it. Okay, 2027. I guess I can live with that. 1927. That'll make me an even 80 then when that happens. Okay, I can wait. Our last piece here is from Silver Bay and Silver Point 2.
Done. Silver Point 2 is the theoretical name of a possible apartment complex to be set next to Silver Point Original in Silver Bay. D.W. Jones Management is a company that's been in conversation with the county HRA and the city about doubling their footprint there. It's a project that has lots of bits and pieces, and Matthew Johnson, the county's HRA director, was on hand at the most recent Silver Bay City Council meeting to talk about that. The city in Silver Bay has been discussing changing some roads, removing designation from one as a county road and shifting that to another spot in order to have the money to rebuild a road that really needs it. That's going to be at an incredibly high cost because of culverts, like we've talked about before. However, they haven't decided on that. It's going to affect this other project, and D.W. Jones is saying they need to know is what's going to happen with the roads. What's the city's plan for that? Because that will affect their access. There's also some private property adjacent to the land owned already by the county is proposed for this development that would be very handy so that the pretty be developed in a way that had extra garages and storage units. Right now, Silver does not have any garage space at all. So that's trying to be negotiated as well, and that's the update on that. Matthew Johnson said this project is going forward regardless of the decisions around those other things. It'll just take a different shape, and hopefully some decisions are expected from the city council by their next meeting so that they can start to actually make design plans and, you know, figure it out, get it done.
Okay, so a significant road in this project is presently designated a city road, and so now they're going to try to get it redesignated as a county road so that there will be more money available for working on it. Did I understand that right, or am I just...
You got that right. And in the process, what that would mean would be remove the county designation from a different road. But it would sort of shift over... excuse me. I think I might have agreed too quickly. The designation for Banks Boulevard, that's already a county road. If designation from portion of Davis Drive County Road was removed, then that potentially could allow for more funding for Banks Boulevard. I hope I have that right. To undergo this reconstruction project. Tom, the road that we're talking about that really needs the rebuild, it's a multi-million dollar project. There's a giant culvert running the whole, like 100 feet under that road that needs to be pulled out and redone and I think resized as well. There's an enormous cost. And then utilities and AI. I mean, it needs to be done at some point, but it's going to cost a lot of money. So, of course, the council's been struggling with that.
Oh, sure. I can sympathize with them entirely. I let this thing run longer than I really wanted it to. I should have kept my mouth shut more often. But to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you. And bye for now.
Tom, thanks.